series we've been looking at is entitled, Who Are We? I want you to know the motivation for this was the fact that about a month ago, maybe 5 weeks ago, I'm not sure, time flies, we had a youth week of prayer every night. And our youth did such a fantastic job, touched my heart. And many of you came on a regular basis to hear them and recognize the talents that are in these young people, that this series is inspired by those young preachers. And because of it, we have some things they haven't heard yet planned for next year, even more significant. And so we looked at who are we? I want the young people to know who we are. You have to understand this is your church as well as your parents' church. And that famous saying that you've all heard quoted, never forget where you came from. And then it says, and never lose sight of where you're going. So that's the impetus and the motivation behind this series for our young people as well as us old people. And so we looked at part one. And we saw that through the 11th and the 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th century came great men and even women who stood up for truth, and many of them gave their lives for that fact. In fact, we discovered, and where I get my title, in part one, the protest of the princes, I had no idea. I always thought about Martin Luther, and I knew that some of the princes sided with his reform. But I didn't know until recently that the emperor, Charles V, became completely convinced to side with the papacy and with all the regalia of the Catholic Church, all its power. The emperor brought his soldiers, everything there. And five princes stood up and said, we will not sit down. We will not shut up. And so I want you to see this quote that came from a Christian historian that said, well has that day been pronounced, quote, the greatest day of the Reformation and one of the most glorious in the history of Christianity and of mankind. The protest of the princes. And so where did we come from? We came from a long line of reformers. It started way back when, as I said, the 11th or 12th century, this was the Waldensians, the Huguenots, the Vaudois, and it goes all the way up till us today. We came from a movement that started way back when, to bring the truth to people no matter what. Then we went to part two and we looked at the Pilgrims' regression. And we discovered that the Pilgrims went over to the New World, they called it. Folks, they went on uncharted waters. They left everything behind. They crowded on a small boat and they came over here. And one of them was Roger Williams. And Roger Williams was the first person in modern Christendom established civil government on the doctrine of liberty of conscience. In fact, we found out the Pilgrims came over here to escape the persecutions that were taking place for centuries on the continent. And so the equality of opinion before the Lord was now added to the beliefs of the church. And notice it says, he declared, it is the duty of the magistrate to restrain crime, but never to control the conscience. Who are we? were a series of reformers. In fact, I better go back to this. We discovered that we are Seventh-day Adventists, but we are also Protestant, we also are reformers, and we're a continuation of a long line of reformers. This is who we are. And then after the colonies were founded, religious liberties came in. Who we are is now Seventh-day Adventist Protestant reformers that believe and teach the biblical doctrine of separation in church and state. In other words, religious freedom and freedom of conscience. What now we're going to look at part three is called A People with a Message. So I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Revelation 14, but I'm going to kneel and have prayer. Father in heaven, who we are is so important to understand, especially for our young people to know that they are part of this movement, regardless of their age. And now, use me, Lord, to make it clear and concise. The message you've given us to preach, in spite of opposition. Use me in spite of me. Let me hide behind the cross so Jesus can be seen. And when we leave, we'll be different from when we came. So open our ears, Lord, especially of the children and young people, that they would listen attentively and discover that you have a mission and a message for them as well as for us. So guide and direct now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Revelation the 14th chapter, you're all familiar with this. You know the three angels' message, but we're only going to read the first two messages because we're shortly going to see that when the William Miller movement began, it was the first two messages they were preaching. And so it says in verse 6, children, you have your Bibles, open them up. Revelation 14, 6, 7, and 8. Then I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. Folks, let me reword this for you. What it's saying is, now is the time to fear God and give glory to Him, because the hour of His judgment has already come. And we must worship Him, the one who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the springs of water, which includes the seventh-day Sabbath that marks His creatorship. But notice the second angel, which was preached back in the William Miller age. It says, and another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Young people, that wine is false doctrine. She has made all the nations to drink of false doctrine. And so we are a people with a message. William Miller was born in the Northeast United States in 1782. His conversion took place in 1816. By the way, that's an interesting story, but no time for that now. In 1818, Christ's return, it came to him in his biblical study that Christ would return about the year 1843. And by August 1831, the Spirit urged him to go tell it to the world, and he began to preach. And in 1833, William Millard received a Baptist license to preach. Folks, he was a farmer. That was his occupation. And he began to preach that the book of Daniel teaches that Jesus is coming through soon, based on Daniel the 8th chapter, the 2300 day year prophecy. And please keep this in your mind. And so in 1831, he began to preach. And the more he preached, the more people started to flock to the message. It spread all over the Northeast United States. And by the way, back then, the United States was mostly the Northeast. It was incredible. Pastors, churches, they all began to see these prophecies and how it showed that the second coming of Jesus was soon. Now, let me give you the context of this. Young people, look at this carefully. First of all, 1776 was what? The United States of America. In 1789 through 1794 was the French Revolution. Okay, so why am I telling you this? You're going to see how all this fits in. You're going to see God at work, and you're going to see Satan at work. For you see, when the United States of America became a nation, it became a Protestant nation. It became a Protestant nation based on religious freedom and separation of church and state. But the French Revolution took place shortly after that, which changed the whole scene of the world, actually. Here's where, for example, evolution was introduced, communism was introduced, all of this through the French Revolution. But in 1798 was the end of the 1260 years of papal persecution and supremacy. And that's when, in 1831 to 1844, William Miller began to preach. It spread all over about the second coming of Jesus Christ, called the Great Religious Awakening. But in 1844, you also know there was a great disappointment when Jesus did not come. And that very year, a young 17-year-old girl, young people, was called to the prophetic ministry and began to share visions and dreams that God had given her. But please notice that in 1859, Darwin published his book, Origin of the Species, and we became an official church in 1863. Satan knew that the law was going to come to the forefront from this movement, and that movement was going to be the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And so Darwin published his beliefs just before we became a church that included the teaching of the seventh-day Sabbath. Now, come on. Do I need to tell you Darwin's book completely debunks creation in the Bible? You do understand that, don't you? And you also understand that the whole world today believes in evolution. Well, I'm hyperbolizing. There's some of us that don't believe in evolution. We know it isn't real. Well, take a look at this. Here's what William Miller found. As he read the book of Daniel, he discovered that every time prophecy in the Bible was fulfilled exactly when it was prophesied to be fulfilled, and there was always a prophet at the end of every time prophecy. Do you have that in your head? And so Genesis 6:3, the 120 years flood, Noah was there. Genesis 15:13, 400 years of sojourn. And when that ended, Moses was there to lead the Israelites out. And then in Genesis 41:28, 7 years of drought, Joseph was there. in Numbers 14:34, 40 years of wandering. Joshua was there when that ended. Jeremiah 25:11, 70 years of captivity. When that ended, Ezra and Nehemiah were there. And when we look at Daniel 4 and the 7 years of insanity of King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel was there. And then we look at Daniel 9:24 through 27, the 490-year probationary period for the Israelite community. When it ended, John the Baptist and Paul were there. And isn't it interesting that the longest time prophecy found in Daniel 8:14, the 2300-year judgment, Ellen White was there. Isn't that incredible? Young people, I want you to see this. I want you to know where we came from. That she isn't this fictitious person that we just sort of set on a pedestal and worship her. No, no, no. We clearly see providentially God led for us now as he did in the past. And we don't reverence her. We recognize her ministry, which is very obvious. And then, as I said, came the great disappointment. The Lord did not return. He did not return because Daniel's prophecy of the 2300 days is a judgment prophecy, not a cleansing of the earth as they thought. And so many people left the movement. Many people ridiculed and harassed those that believed in that movement. But a small group of people did not leave that movement. Because that's why God brought Ellen White at that time to be a prophet. By the way, let me fill in some spaces. You all know this, or you should. God asked two men to do it first, and they both refused. So God went to a woman who was very feeble. 17 years. 3 grades of education. And here's what happened. This small group of people, including her, sat down with their Bibles. And here's what they discovered. First of all, the historical school of interpretation, the way to interpret Bible prophecy, they discovered that that's what the reformers used to understand Bible prophecy, the historical method. They also discovered the judgment began in Daniel 8:14. Also, they found the sanctuary, which is covered not only in Exodus and in Leviticus and even in Numbers, but it's also in Hebrews and Revelation. Then they found the Sabbath, that the law of God has not been done away with. And the gift of prophecy, which they acknowledged was given to Ellen White. They discovered the state of the dead, that when you die, you don't go to heaven or hell. Do you remember when I told you the second angel says, Babylon is fallen. The false churches are Babylon. They're fallen. Why are they fallen? Because they've made everyone, all nations, drink of the wine of false doctrine. And so look what was discovered by this little group of people who prayed and asked for God's guidance. That when you die, you go to sleep. That there's no eternal burning hell. That the theme of the Bible throughout is the great controversy between Christ and Satan. They realized religious liberty and also going to make you mad. The health message. The health message, which very few of us recognize or follow. It's not culturally fun. You know, that's not the look at the world. They can eat, drink, they can do anything. And now we Adventists are weakening on this. And the health message was given to keep us healthy so we could give this message. Young people, this is who we are. This is where we're coming from. But we're not over yet. I want to tell you all this. I want to make sure you see the historical sketch here. When did William Miller begin to preach that Jesus was coming in 1843? What was the date? 1831. Well, I want to introduce you to a Jesuit priest who wrote a book in 1791 under a fictitious name of Juan Josaphat Ben Ezra, because he knew that his church, which he was a priest of, would condemn his book. And it was about the second coming of Jesus Christ. A Jesuit priest studied his Bible for 4 years and in Chile realized that Jesus was coming soon. He wrote the book. He put a fictitious name on there, a pen name. And that manuscript, folks, before William Miller began to preach, had already gone to Mexico, South America. What am I doing here? I'm showing that God's Spirit moved on different people at different times. That the Seventh-day Adventist Church didn't make this up. The Seventh-day Adventist Church recognized what was right from the past and also what was wrong from the past that should be rejected. And so he got it started. By the way, his manuscript, he didn't publish it. His manuscript was passed around. And finally, he published it in 1821. But his manuscript had been out since 1791, folks. William Miller hadn't accepted the Lord yet. And then there's Joseph Wolff, a converted Jew who was convinced that God was coming. Jesus was coming around 1840-something, and he traversed the Middle East to preach to all the Muslims. He went to Africa, Egypt, Abyssinia, Palestine, Syria, Persia, Boko Haram, and to India. Then he went to the United States before William Miller began to preach. And then I want to share with you, too, the Albury Park theological meeting that took place in 1826 in England. And some of the best known lay people who were studying prophecy and ministers who were studying prophecy were at this meeting to discuss this issue. And one of them was Edward Irvin. And when Edward Irving got a hold of Lucunza's book, The Glorious Return of Jesus Christ, he translated into English. And it began to spread all over England. This is before William Miller started to preach. Am I degrading William Miller here? No. I'm showing you how. Young people, we're part of a movement. We're not just Seventh-day Adventists. We are Protestants. We are reformers. We believe in religious liberty. And we believe in preaching the second coming of Jesus Christ. And look at our name. Check this out. The thought occurred to me. Seventh-day, that's Saturday. Adventist, second coming. And so what is the whole world taught? Sunday is the right day of worship, and that the second coming is a secret rapture before Jesus returns physically, visibly. I want you to see we have a mission and a message. Well, check this out too. Look at Johann Bengel, a theologian from Germany. I want you to look that he died in 1752. Why do I have him there? Because he was preaching the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then there was Glossin, Louis Glossin in Switzerland, and he was preaching the second coming. And I already told you about Edward Irving, who translated Lucunza's book, and it scattered all over Europe, Scotland, and Ireland. The second coming of Jesus Christ. And not last but least, I want you to know that in Sweden they began to preach it and they outlawed the ministers from doing it. Look what God did. Children, look what God did. In the 19th century, child preacher phenomenon was reported as first occurring at a parish church in Sweden. You can have fun with that town name. I have no idea. There in December 1841, four young peasant girls announced the end of the world was approaching and that all must repent and prepare to meet God. Almost simultaneously, a large number of prophetesses of 10 to 12 years of age appeared in adjoining parishes and in the village of something or other. Six boys from 8 to 18 years of age were led to give the same message of warning reported of these children preachers permeate the Swedish press for several years. Now look, as far as I understand, I haven't been banned from preaching yet. But I think it behooves us to train our young people now for the day when I can't preach anymore. And that's what God did. And so you see, folks, William Miller wasn't just isolated. We didn't just come from this movement that now is somewhat maligned on the internet. If you go on the internet, call the William Miller movement. He was following the Spirit of God, unknown that all these other things were happening around the world. Simultaneously. And so, my friends, young people, Seventh-day Adventists are Protestant reformers that believe and teach the Bible doctrine of separation of church and state and herald the second coming of Jesus Christ, the perpetuity of the law, and the three angels' messages. That's who we are. And we're that because we came from where we were, a group or movement of people that were determined to stand up for what the Bible teaches, even under the threat of death. And so that's who we are. And that's where we're going. And so, my friends, we have a work to do. Now look, not everybody is called to stand up on the steps of a Roman Catholic church and tell them they're the beast. In fact, I don't think anybody's called to do that. But you can play a part whenever we have evangelism here by showing up, by supporting it, even with your money. Not just your time and presence, but money. And you can recognize those who are willing to give Bible studies and go out and support them in that effort. You are complicit with them when that happens. Friends, as we face 2020, let's not be pew warmers. I know, don't say it. You can't warm a pew here at Paradise. I know that. But when I sit in those seats, I can go to sleep. There's no more time for that. And we've got to utilize our young people and help them to see this whole picture so they realize that God is leading us different from everybody else. Father in heaven, I want to pray for this beautiful congregation of which I'm a part, that you have blessed us and things are happening here, even good things, Lord. And I pray you help us in this 10 days of prayer, for example, to pull together. Families would come together spiritually and in their houses amongst the father, the mother, the son, the daughter, even the grandma, the grandpa. But then we also pray that our family here would draw closer together. And in spite of the faults that we have, including mine, we would see what you see when we look at each other. We need each other, Lord. No one here is a detriment unless they choose to ignore your commands. Help our church, Lord. Bless everyone who's here. Those who are visiting, may they bring this message home to their churches and practice so that, first of all, we'll be ready. Secondly, others will be ready. But more importantly, Lord, you will come and put an end to all this sickness and suffering and death and selfishness and torture and pain that pervades our planet. So have your will and way now, Lord, and bless each one, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.